We talk about faith and we talk about the culture of death and the sanctity of life. It's something that we've been talking about for some time, and today I want to do the same. We enter what seems to be a realm of both theology and politics when we talk about abortion, when we talk about the sanctity of life. But I'm going to tell you, friends, this is an area where God's people, where Christians must voice their convictions. We need to be sharing what God tells us. You see, there is a time and there is a place when God's people, the church, must speak to moral issues. We need to be doing it every day. Now, why do we need to do that? Because I tell you again that the sanctity of life is not a political issue, it's a God issue. And I'd like to present today the sanctity of life and a sermon and some information, not in terms of public debate. But dear friends, I want to present it in terms of private praise for what God does for us. I want to present the attitude and the understanding of the sanctity of human life from the terms of God's love for you, God's love for us, before, during, and after birth. Because God's love during that time is cause for praise. Amen? It is indeed. The psalmist said, I will praise you. Who? Praise the Lord God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to read together Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 16. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And you think God doesn't have something to say about our life before it was ever born to this earth? Dear friends, God's word speaks very plain. And I ask you this morning, would you hear this message? Listen to me. This message of love. Love for the unborn and love for the mother and the father that are responsible for that life. And I ask you, would you pray about how God would use you and me and our church to minister to life? Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your word, and we ask for your strength, your wisdom, and ability, Father, to move beyond the world's methods. And Lord, not intimidation, but love. They'll know that we are your children by our love. God, help us to share your word in love to so many who need it. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Psalms 139 speaks volumes to us. But I want to ask you, did you know that God loves you? I know it's a rhetorical question, but I'm going to look for an answer here. Did you know that God loves you? God's word says that He has loved you with an everlasting love. That's encouraging. Amen? You know, when you mess up, God loves you with an everlasting love. When you fail, God loves you with an everlasting love. when you spoke against Him, God loves you with an everlasting love. When you try your best, but you don't quite make it, God loves you with an everlasting love. God loves you with an everlasting love. And did you know that if God loves you now, He has loved you since before the day that you were born. He loves you before your birth. Did you know that Scripture, God's Word, indicates that life begins from the moment of conception? And yet, God knows the unborn baby while he is still in the womb. He knows us. We read several scriptures that shared that with us. To know is to love from the Lord our God. And He has indeed, even from the time that you were conceived, loved you with an everlasting love. Psalms 139 verse 13 we read says, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed you," as He spoke to Jeremiah, God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." God knows you before you're born. Psalm chapter 22 verses 9 and 10 says, "You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." God knows you and He has loved you with an everlasting love. The fact is, God loved you even before you were conceived. God's Word tells that too. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that God chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Shared with us in Scripture even earlier today. Did you know this? That the word sanctity, when we say the sanctity of human life, that word sanctity means sacred or holy. So the phrase sanctity of human life makes sense, because as Christians, we know that God the Father is the author and giver of all life. Amen? Do you have any doubt of that? That every breath that is breathed on this earth is given of God. So, dear friend, life is holy. We can say with all the authority of God's Word, with all the authority of Scripture, that life is holy. And God loves us when we're adults. God loves us as children. God even loves us when we're teenagers. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Some of those days are hard as teens. But He even loved you before you were ever born. Let me ask you, do you ever thank God for loving you? Do you know, maybe that's the way we should start every prayer. God, thank you for loving me. God, thank you for loving me enough to hear my voice even right now. God, before anything else that I say, I want to say thank you for loving me. Let me ask you this. Have you praised God for loving you even before you were you? God has loved you with an everlasting love. And dear friend, I believe that praising God for loving us before we were even born is an important part of keeping life sacred. Thank God for what He's given, even before birth. You know, I believe with all my heart that God loves the holiness and the miraculousness of human conception. Dr. Hilary Jones, a doctor, wrote in a medical journal, not in a Christian journal, but in a medical journal, she wrote this. She said, "So complex are the biological mechanisms through which pregnancy takes place that conception is a miracle of life." I agree. I fully agree. As one who began pre-med before God called me to be a pastor, to be a preacher, as I was going through all the classes, the science and the math and the biology and the human anatomy, as you begin to learn to see just how complex conception and the miracle of birth is, how can you not understand all of these incredible and miraculous things that occur and not believe in a Creator? It's difficult. Listen, I think it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer in God. Wow. Have you ever watched a documentary on conception? Dear friends, if you've ever watched that, it is mind-bogglingly miraculous the way God pulls things together. It just boggles my mind how anyone can understand that and not believe in a loving, giving, miraculous God. Friends, at the remarkable moment of conception, did you know this? Every characteristic of that person is determined. The moment of conception, whether they'll be a boy or a girl, what eye color they'll have, their eventual shoe size, their IQ, and more and more and more are all determined at that moment of conception when the baby's genetic code in the 46 human chromosomes are introduced to one another and God begins to multiply those cells double and double and double. Incredible and incredible and unbelievable until you see what God does with it. At 3 weeks after conception, the baby's heart begins to beat and pump blood. At 6 weeks, the baby's brain is so developed that it can be measured by an electroencephalogram right from the mother's womb. God's creative genius and creating the human body with such complexity is still way beyond our scientific understanding. Dear friends, you may think that we have progressed a long way. When it comes to science, they are still unsure of how everything works. To say that it blows their mind is just a partial statement there. Oh, I know that modern science can tell you what's going on in much of the phases. They can say, well, this is what's happening, and this is what's happening, and this is what's happening. But I'm going to tell you right now, you go back and ask a doctor and ask one of the smartest scientists in this world, and they still cannot tell you how it is accomplished. They can't tell you how it happens. They can tell you that it happens. Folks, that is the miracle of the Lord our God. I keep believing in the awe and the wonder of the miracle of life at conception. And dear friends, I still believe that that awe and wonder is a part of keeping life sacred. Did you know that God loves you with an everlasting love? God loves you and has loved you with an everlasting love. And not just you. Oh, how conceited we would be, how short-sighted we would be if we thought that it was only us. Amen? Dear friend, God loves every individual that has ever been conceived, every person. God loves babies. Amen? Doesn't everybody love a baby? God loves babies. God loves children. Did you notice that in the Bible that never are children treated by God as second-class citizens? Not by God, not by Jesus. Always they are protected. Always they are considered important. Never are children treated as second-class citizens. In Luke chapter 18, verse 16, you may recall that Jesus was teaching. Do you remember? He was teaching around the Galilee area, and it says that as he was teaching the adults, the children started going down to see Jesus, and they wanted to talk to him. You know, they wanted to touch Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to visit with Jesus. And the disciples were running as old guards and his guard dogs, and said, no, shoot, yeah, get. And it says that they were keeping the children back, and that Jesus looked up and he said, no. He says, you let those children come to me. He taught us that such was the kingdom of heaven, to have the trust as a little child to say, I just happen to believe that God will do what God says He'll do. Time and again, we see through God's Word that God loves babies and children. God loves old people too, and those of us that are older say, amen. I'm glad God loves old people. I'm glad that God doesn't get through with old people till He takes them home. We're taught in the Bible, God loves old people. We're taught to love, to respect, and to honor our elderly, our parents. Now let me ask you, at what age does that stop? Somebody give me the number that the Bible gives us. Exactly. There is no time that ever stops. Dear friends, when God says that we are to honor and respect the elderly, it is through our entire life, whether they're still here or not. God's Word says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, He says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of the old man and fear your God." Let me ask you, is how we treat our parents when we're young important? Is how we treat our parents when we're young children important, that we learn to honor and respect? Yes or no? What about as teenagers? Is it important that as teenagers that we don't get too big for our britches and still honor mother and father? Well, y'all didn't seem quite as enthusiastic, but I'm going to tell you, yes. And what about as young adults? Is it still important that we honor and that we treat our parents with love, honor, and respect? Is it so? If that's the case, dear friends, as we age and as we grow older, does that mean that we lose, or that perception, that principle is lost just because we begin to grow older? I think not. How you treat and how you care for your parent or how you care for the elderly is a reflection of your love for God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I know that parents can make mistakes. I know because I am one. And I know this. We can make errors. We can make mistakes. We are not perfect by any means. And yet, God placed us here to love, care, and lead our children. And even though we may not be perfect, God's Word still says that the way that our children and others treat us as we age is a reflection of the way that you love God. Do you honor God? Do you obey God? Treating your parents with love and respect when they are older, and even after they die, is a part of keeping life sacred. Let me just share this with you. Exodus chapter 20. Anybody know what's found? Any particular set of rules there in Exodus chapter 20 that you remember? The Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this: honor your father and your mother. It goes on to say, this is a commandment of the Lord that will bring you longevity and blessing in your life. He says that your days may be long on the face of the earth. Honor your mother and father. So as long as you are alive, do you still have a mother and father? Yes, you do. There is no place in God's Word that says stop honoring them just because they get old, or you leave the house, or you're not dependent on their money anymore. But dear friend, it says that even to the day that you die, it gives you no stopping point. You are to honor your mother and father. I think that it's so important that the sanctity of human life is kept as we honor God's Word with our parents and with our elderly. Sanctity of human life, dear friends, is treating all life like it's important. Last month, and I'm reminded as I try to draw a deep breath, but last month, I was privileged to get to spend 9 days in the hospital fighting for breath because of COVID pneumonia. I don't really think I knew how serious it was, even when I couldn't breathe and was taken to the hospital. I don't think you knew how serious it was. Maybe some of you knew better than I did, but I didn't realize just how life-threatening it was. Dear friends, even many much younger people have lost their life from what I went through just a month ago. Many of you have been through it. And I'm going to tell you that there are some in our church that are battling for their life as many others. I is battling for my life. I know my friend Polly, who went through it and was in the hospital just before I was. What about our brother Buddy, who just had a quadruple bypass just last week? Let me ask you this. Do you think that it's possible that with my health problems and others' health problems, with Buddy and others, that we could have possibly have been planning a funeral instead of hearing a sermon from one of us today? Do you think that's possible? Folks, I think it's highly possible. Here's what I think. Because of this, and you know I'm getting to a point with it, and that's this. I believe that the sanctity of human life calls for a celebration when lives are saved from tragedy. Have you celebrated your pastor's survival? Some of you have. Some of you are going, man, I thought he'd be... And I'm thankful for those who've shared with me, many who have said that. But I believe that the sanctity of human life calls for us to celebrate, whether it's from illness or accident or whatever it is, when lives are saved from tragedy. I think there needs to be a celebration. That's why I celebrate every decision to save an unborn child. Dear friend, I want you to understand this. That's why I celebrate every legal protection for an unborn baby. And I want you to hear this. No matter which side of the fence you're on, when it comes to pro-life or pro-choice, I want you to hear this. I do not celebrate the sanctions against abortion because I want to flaunt it at pro-choice people. That is not why I celebrate it. I celebrate it because it has another opportunity in it to love the people who are going through an unplanned or crisis pregnancy. An opportunity that we might get to talk to them, to tell them that there is a God out there who loves them with an everlasting love. That we tell them that the child that they carry is loved by God with an everlasting love. And that by doing so, we gain the prayerful opportunity then to minister to that individual, to the mother, to the father, to the family, and to the unborn child. That's why, dear friends, we have got to love them, not just the unborn, but the mother and the father and anybody else who surrounds them, and to tell them that there is a God who loves them with an everlasting love. If sanctity of human life means that we hold life sacred, then we can't let life go to waste. Amen? Not the unborn, not the elderly, and nobody in between. No life wasted. So let me ask you, what about your life? What about the plan that God has for you? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, to ensure that the sanctity of your life is not wasted? God loves you with an everlasting love, and He wants you to have the full purpose that He intended for you. God has a plan for your life, dear friends. God's Word says so. He has told us, and I love Jeremiah, where He talked to Jeremiah, and He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, God said. Plans for good. Amen? And not evil. Pray with me. Father, we are so thankful for Your Holy Spirit, because You, Holy Spirit, give us strength and life and the ability to share. God, so many times we don't know what to say. God, sometimes we just think, how can I share when I look at my life, Lord, and I know that I have no right to speak into a life. But Father, You have every right. And You have every right to use us. and out of the understanding that our life is sanctified by You, it's a holy life, Lord, and we pray, Father, that You would use it to affect life in others. Help us, Lord, to love in the name of Jesus, to serve in the name of Jesus, to give opportunity for life in the name of Jesus. God, we need Your help. We're a faulty people, but we serve a risen Savior. We're a sinful folk, but we serve a perfect God. We fail for lack of strength, but Your Holy Spirit gives all that's needed. Father, help us to serve You well and let those who are struggling know that there is a God who loves them with an everlasting love.